you know, whenever I have the privilege and the opportunity to talk with living history, it is always a wonderful thing. Everybody knows Bobby Slick Leonard, the pride of Terre Haute. Played basketball with Coach McCracken down at Indiana University before the way before they even thought of a Big Ten network. Played in the NBA, and I'm going to find out in a minute because he played with some teams I didn't even know he played with. First coach of our Indiana Pacers back in ABA days. Now he may be the senior analyst of all the NBA franchises. We have to find out about it. And look how relaxed he is after doing, you know, helping out boiling them on the game last night where the Pacers kind of started out like the Colts. And the first half was kind of, and came back strong and now have the best record in the National Basketball Association. Slick has written a book called Boom, Baby! And he joins me live. It is an honor to have you here.
Oh, hey, it's just, this is fun. Huh? Yeah, let's have some fun.
How was last night? Oh, my goodness.
It was terrific. You got a sellout crowd, standing room only. Mm-hmm. We come out a little bit soft.
Yeah.
And the first half was a struggle. Mm-hmm. And we're down 7. Mm-hmm. And whatever happened at halftime, we came out like the ball club that is 19-3. We came out in the second half, and we beat them. We beat them.
Have the Pacers, going even back to ABA, ever had a start like this?
No. No.
This is new territory.
This is a big-time start for a lot of ball clubs, you know, going back in history and NBA history.
Right.
You know, 19-3 is a heck of a jump off. Mm-hmm. And there's been some great ball games. And, you know, now we're in position. See, this ball club is in position to – they're in the hunt. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. They're in the hunt to win the world championship.
But, you know, it's always good when you start out strong in November and December. But I'm a fatalist. I want to know how we do it in March and April. Because this is a long season. This is not like 10 games and you're in it.
Oh, no. This is a long time. But yeah. Now, the big month, if you're... You start thinking about a month in this business, it's a month of June. Because if you get to the month of June, you're playing for a world championship.
And you got to be ready.
Oh, you got to be ready. And they will be. I mean, it's these guys have a special chemistry, and they want to win, and they respect each other, and it's good.
I've heard that this family atmosphere of our Pacers is one of the best atmospheres that this team – that any Pacer team has ever had. Is that fair?
It's very good. Mm-hmm. If I went back, I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. If I went back and you talk about family, back in the day,
I know
that I had Roger Brown and Mel Daniels, George McGinnis, Frayless. That's all we were, was family. Mm-hmm. And that's an important part of winning.
How much has the game of professional basketball change. I didn't realize you were a Laker, first a Minneapolis Laker, and that you were part of the team that opened up the Lakers in Los Angeles. And this was before Showtime, so you got a little, you see that whole gold thing, you, gold has kind of been in your blood a little bit.
Well, at least I got out of the winters in Minneapolis when we moved to Los Angeles. But out there, you know, it was, I had a chance to play with some great ones, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and we had a good ball club out there. But you know, it didn't catch on that quick. I remember they used to have, in the sports arena, which is just outside the Los Angeles Coliseum.
Right.
It was brand new, and they had a flag up there when they played the national anthem, and they had a fan on it.
Right.
So it was blowing, so right. It looked real. And over to the right of that, they had a counter so that you knew by the time game started how many people came through the turnstiles. And it was new to Southern California. When we first got there, you look up there on that counter, and you look at 4,000, 4,500. Well, by May and June, you're looking at sellout 15,000.
And I grew up in Chicago. I didn't realize you were part of the first Chicago Bulls when they were in expansion, because they were not the greatest team in the world either when they started out.
No. That was an expansion. Expansion teams, hey, you don't want to. Well, I went in as a player, mm-hmm. and then got some injuries and had to hang it up and went directly into coaching.
Right.
You know, I was the youngest coach in the NBA at 30 years of age.
When you started coaching down here in Indiana for the Pacers, did you know what you were doing? Or was it kind of like?
No, I did not know. I'm glad you asked that. I didn't know. As a matter of fact, Amos, you know what happened? Nancy and I had just built the first house we ever had. Mm-hmm. And when they came at me to coach the Pacers, you know, I was an NBA guy. I said, hey, I told Nancy, I said, a red, white, and blue ball, a three-point line. Yeah. I said, this can't last. Mm-hmm. But I said, I can go down there for 1 year and make enough money to furnish the house.
Right. Mm.
But it lasted all that time, and it was up until now. We'll see what happens. But it really was the glory days of the Indiana Pacers.
You're a Terre Haute guy, and you grew up, like a lot of people around the Depression, without a lot of stuff. With a, you know, kind of poor. How'd you end up in IU?
Well, I didn't really think. I had a great high school coach. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was a junior, I got pretty good by the time I was a junior in high school. Well, really, back in those days, Amos, the college, if they approached you, they had to go through the coach. They had to go through the coach. So I only made a few visits as a senior to North Carolina State, Adolph Rupp down at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, but Branch McCracken was my man. Mm-hmm. He was my man. And, you know, IU had that great tradition, which they still have today. And I was fortunate enough to get with a bunch of guys that were really great ones. They were really great guys. And like we say, we had a family there. And then it's one of the few teams in IU history that had a chance and should have won back-to-back NCAA championships.
Mm.
But we won it in 53, and we came back, everybody back in 54, and Notre Dame upset us in the NCAA regional.
So you got one of them rings.
Oh, yeah, I got a ring. Sure.
You several of them.
I got a bunch of rings.
What do you do with them?
Well, Nancy wears some.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA championship, or the NCAA championship ring, she's got that one. Then she's got the one in her third championship in the ABA.
See, he knows who's important in the household.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
239-1310. 239-1310 with Bobby Slick Leonard. The book is called Boom Baby. It is published by Triumph. We'll take a break. Come back with more of our conversation. I want to find out, is he the dean, which is the fancy way for the one that survived the longest, in doing play-by-play of color of all of the 32 teams in the broadcasters in the NBA? I got to think he's up there. You might be the dean. The one that's been around the longest.
Well, there's two of us.
Well, hold on to that, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. It's After This with Amos, after these. Slick Leonard, one of the legends in this state. He's got a new book called Boom Baby. It's available wherever books are sold, on his basketball life in Indiana. So are you the senior, the one that's been around the longest in terms of all the play-by-play and analysts now in the NBA?
There's two of us.
Okay.
Two of us left. Tommy Heinsohn the Boston Celtics, and myself.
Speaking of the Celtics, how do you think Coach Stevens is going to do?
He's doing great.
They lost last night, but their record is better than everybody thought. He's not going to win a game. And they're doing pretty good.
Not Brad Stevens. He's going to be very, very successful because he's one of those guys. Now, there's been other college coaches tried to come in,
right,
and some of them have had great big egos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not Brad Stevens. No. And the guys are going to like him. They're going to play for him. And as they go along now and rebuild like they're trying to do, he's going to be – he'll have them playing great basketball.
Let me go to Earl on the line at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I'd like to ask Coach, who would be his top seven high school players that is by position.
Wait a minute, top seven that are in high school now or were in high school back in the day?
Back in the day.
Oh, Lord. Who would be the top seven high school players from back in the day, Coach?
Well, it's a tough pick. It's a tough pick. Now, I've always talked about the four. Mm-hmm. Ray Crow and I sat down several years back before he passed away, and he said, I've had a lot of fine players at Crispus Attucks, mm-hmm. but he said I had two great ones. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody knows one of them's Oscar Robertson.
Right.
The other one is Wee Willie Gardner.
Mm.
And I was associated with him in a number of ways later on, but he was a great player. Mm-hmm. Had a heart murmur and was up with the New York Knicks and in training camp and in exhibition season. He was averaging 30 points a game and 15 rebounds.
Mm.
And they found his heart murmur, ended his career. Mm. The other two, to me, is George McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Bird.
Mm. So, you know, could you take Bird today?
Could I take him?
Yeah, could you take him to the hoop?
Well, he's a 6'9" or 10 guy. Say, yeah, I can get around him pretty easy.
239-1310, 239-1310. I remember when I first moved here, like for the first month, like May of 75, because I couldn't, you know, the back then in Chicago, the Bulls were horrible, so nobody went to Chicago Bulls games. And I heard, hey, the Pacers, they're in the ABA, they're winning championships, they're good. So I go down to Market Square, bought the cheapest ticket, so that got me like on row Z. I didn't even know stadiums had row Z. So I'm up on Rosie Z way up there. I'm getting dizzy. And then watching you guys play, you know, with that red, white, and blue ball. Yeah. I said, oh, these guys know what they're doing. My goodness gracious. The reason for the book was like to put everything down.
That's what, well, as far as the book's concerned, you know, I wanted my grandkids at this stage of my life, I wanted my grandkids to one day look at this book and say, boy, our grandpa sure had an exciting life.
Mm.
And that's why I did the book. Right. But for all those kids out there, for the kids that are like I was, mm-hmm. that are dreamers, mm-hmm. you know, I always dreamed, Amos, yeah. that we were going to get to the Final Four when I was in high school, the Final Four at Butler Fieldhouse.
Right.
I dreamed of that. Well, what this book really, it's a journey. It's a journey. It goes through. It goes through the years at IU when we won championships. It goes through my career in the pro game with the Lakers. And then it goes through the years, the great years I had with the Indiana Pacers when we won championships, to the 18 years I spent with Reggie Miller.
Mm. I had the honor of talking to Reggie several years ago on this program before he knew that he would go into the Hall of Fame. And I kind of kidded with him and say, wait a minute, I'm in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, privileged in this state. You know, you'll get there. I'm looking forward. So hopefully I'm bringing you – I brought him good luck with that interview. Hopefully hopefully I'm bringing – because you have no control over that.
No, it's – there's a lot of things. I have never known the criteria that get you in. I know there's some politics involved. But
I'm still looking at the criteria for the broadcasters. But yeah. You're right. There is a lot of politics in those kind of things. And it's just if it's going to happen, God will make it happen.
But I went up there twice. I've coached four players that are in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not include Reggie. I had Walt Bellamy from Indiana. He was rookie year in the NBA. I coached him. And then Terry Dischinger out of Purdue was rookie year in the NBA. I coached him. But the four guys are Gus Johnson. I had a guy by the name of Gus Johnson with Baltimore Bullets.
Right.
And then, of course, I had Roger.
Mm.
Roger Brown. Roger Brown should have been in there 20 years ago.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes, you know, and I think that's what the Basketball Hall of Fame is now trying to, I won't say make up, that's the wrong word, but trying to play catch up, I guess is the better word, for those from ABA that have made a great contribution to basketball. Let me go back to the phones and Carla at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good. That's great. Hi, Bobby Slickletter.
He's right here. He's listening to you. Go ahead.
Okay. I just have a quick question. My daughter is a freshman at Metropolitan Charter, and she has a desire, a passion for basketball. Not the greatest, but she just believes, like you said, she's a dreamer, that she's going to be in the WNBA, you know, in the future. But the only issue is, and I try to encourage her, that the players won't pass her the ball. Last game, which was Monday, the coach didn't put her in. So I'm trying to see, what do I tell her, or do I approach the coach? And I really don't want to do that. You know how parents get. So what do you do to try to encourage her, continue to encourage her about the game?
That's a great question, Coach.
Well, it is. It is. You know, the little gal, she's dreaming. But she's out there practicing. She's out there playing. And you got on the coaches, but they've got to have some coaches there to teach them the fundamentals and everything. How old is she?
Carla?
You don't let them play, you know, even though she's not the best. My thing is, if you don't let them play, how can they even know the game?
She's a freshman?
Yeah, she's a freshman.
So what's she, about 14, 15?
Yeah, she just turned 16.
Does she participate in any of these little summer leagues, whether it's at a YMCA or AAU or something like that, that she could improve on her skills?
No. No, the only thing she does is go to the Hillside Center in the backyard, and she just practices her heart out. But she loves the game. No.
Well, yeah, those things are important if you can go to those camps. But when I think about this little girl, I grew up in the backyard too. That's where I started, and I was out there hours and hours and hours. So,
what you might want to do as the parent, or maybe you and her, try to get a hold of Tamika Catchings Foundation. I can't remember what it's. Catch the Stars Foundation, I think it's called, and maybe, you know, have that young lady send a note to Tamika and ask for some advice, because I know Tamika could give her some advice. It sounds like what Coach is saying is part of it's the practice. And part of it is, I know you can't obliquely and directly talk to the coach, but maybe that's something that you say to the principal, can we share a Coca-Cola or a cup of coffee? And I got a couple of concerns. And at least the coach ought to be, and sometimes coaches are afraid, ought to be able to tell the parent, you know, give a reason why.
Oh, yeah. Right. You should be able to talk to them, not tell them that they have to play your daughter. But I think that the thing you brought up with Tamika, I think Tamika could really give her some real good advice.
You know, or maybe something where she could, you know, go and meet a couple of the WNBA players, and you might want to call.
That would be awesome.
I would. Yeah. Here's what you do. You know what you do is call the Fever office, tell them you talked to me and Slick on the radio. Now, that'll both get us in trouble. We're old enough. What are they going to do to us? Not much. what are they going to do to Slick? And that's an excellent idea. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Let me go to Charles at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
And, Coach Leonard.
He's right here.
How are you?
I'm fine. I have a hypothetical question.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Can you tell me, is there any reason why George McGinnis is not in the Hall of Fame?
Boy, you popped a good one there, because I'll guarantee you he should be. He should be, and I hope I live long enough. I hope it happens. I hope I live long enough to see it happen, because, see, that front line, I've seen everything's come down the pike in the last 60, 65 years, one way or another, playing, coaching, broadcasting.
Right.
That front line could compete with any of them. Roger Brown, George McGinnis, and Mel Daniels.
And as I understand it, in the Basketball Hall of Fame, there is a committee that is looking just at ABA alumni. Is that
there
correct?
There is, Amos, yes. So there is, because they think they've cheated them all these years.
Well, it's no different than in baseball, where they have the special committee for the veterans and the special committee for those that competed in the Negro Leagues, trying again to diversify, not just on a racial basis, but because basketball doesn't need that part, but diversify based upon the history of basketball. That's a great question. Let me go to Sherry at 2393. Sheree, hi there. Sheree?
Hello. Yes.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Yes, I was calling. I was listening to the young lady speaking about her daughter who loves the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I have twin daughters that love the game also, are so into the game, and plays co-ed ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know, as a parent, what is the best way to, like, calm down, because my children, because I want to, you know, be there for them and things, but they're like, well, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, for you to calm down?
I'm sorry.
For you to be
yeah,
the...
for me to calm down, because I'm out there hollering and screaming for my daughter.
No. Every parent's like that, and should be. You got to be enthusiastic and let them know that you care.
Right.
But I think the key thing is keep it in positive sports person or sportswomanship.
All right.
You know, never, okay. You know, let me put it this way. If you don't want yourself shown on ESPN in a negative highlight as a parent that's not doing right, keep that. I think, you know, it's okay to be the best fan and the best supporter. Okay. But you also, you know, be supportive of them when they're down. Let me ask you, Coach, is that the hardest thing when you're dealing with players, when you're in a losing streak or you've lost a tough game, you know, being able to motivate and uplift players after that kind of disappointment?
Well, that's all part of coaching. Mm-hmm. I call it the intangibles. But when things are down, mm-hmm. when things are down, that's where you got to be really positive.
And the same thing would be with parents.
No question.
With the kids.
No question. If your kids are out there playing, you've got to be positive. Mm-hmm. But let them play.
Mm-hmm. All right, Frank will be our last caller with Bobby Slick Leonard. He's the author of the brand new book, Boom Baby.
Yeah.
How you doing, Frank?
Hey, Bobby Slick Leonard.
Frank, I need you to turn your radio down so I don't hear myself say myself 10 seconds after I say myself.
Okay.
I'm
with you. Real quick.
Yeah.
What do you think of the legendary high school coaches in the state of Indiana? Who would you consider to be the legendary high school coaches in the high school ranks in Indiana? I think one of them was Bill Green. What do you think? And what do you think of the coach up there now, of James Blackman and his son? And I'll hang up and listen.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it, Frank.
Well, Bill Green was a great, very good friend of mine. Very good friend of mine.
And he was the coach at?
He won Marion High School. That's what I think, six state championships.
Yeah.
And he's one of the finest coaches that ever coached in the state of Indiana. You can go back to my high school coach who had the second most wins in the history of high school basketball, Howard Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
They're the coach down at Lagodi. I can't think of his name right now. But he was a great one. We had so many great coaches that you couldn't single them out.
Mm.
You know that. Now I'm going back to the time when we had 714 teams in the state tournament,
right?
And the coaches were fundamentally sound, great coaches. So there's been so many of them. It's hard to pick out one or two.
Speaking of great players, high school players, Greg Oden is now with the Miami Heat. He didn't play last night. Do you think he's ever going to play again?
Well, I saw him out there.
I heard he was pre-game. Doing the preview, yeah. How do you look?
He was. He's out running baselines. They're working with him. They're trying to get him strong again.
Mm-hmm.
I take my hat off to Pat Riley for bringing him in there and giving him an opportunity. It'll be a while. He's been out. He was out 2 years. I'd love to see him get back. I really would.
I know the first time I saw him play as a high school student was up at Hinkle. It was something that was a high school tournament that Circle City Classic and we're putting together. And it was the first time I met Bird because Bird was there with Donnie Walsh to scout Greg Oden.
And, you know, I noticed that night, like five players, the other team was all hanging off of Odin. And he just kind of looked a little fragile to me. What do I know about sports? Little did I know that maybe I was seeing something. But anyway, the book is Boom Baby. It is published by Triumph. Now, it's available where all these books are sold, right? Is it on Amazon, too?
It's on Amazon.
Which means they got it up at the warehouse up there in Plainfield and up on I-65. So you probably order it from Amazon and they'll hand deliver it to you.
In a drone.
It is an honor and privilege to have you here on the program. I mean, you are living history. And hopefully, even though you don't need to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame, to be told what the world already knows is that you were a Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame coach, and a great representative not only for basketball, but our Indiana Pacers and our great state of Indiana. It is an honor and a privilege to have you on the program, sir.
Boy, Amos, you're special. You're a special guy. You start throwing those kind of words out on me.
But it is well deserved. He is Bobby Slick Leonard. He wrote the book with Lou Friedman. I got to give Lou some play, who's a veteran sports journalist with the Anchorage Daily News, Chicago Tribune, Philadelphia Inquirer, and he lives in Indiana and had to put up with Slick hearing his story. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
Boy, same to you, Amos. Same to you, buddy.